All right, let me think of a woman song.
I am woman, hear me roar.
Or
she brings home the bacon, she cooks it up in a pan. I know that. What is that? I know that.
Oh, I can't quite pull it off.
How about Jolene? Jolene.
Jolene. Jolene.
Please don't take my man.
It's time to take a break with Jean and Mary. Every weekday at noon Eastern Time, join us as we talk about what's on our mind. Email us at contactjeanandmary@gmail.com or interact with us on Facebook for your chance to win a prize every week.
Warning! Side effects may include jocularity, increased knowledge, and a great way to spend 15 minutes.
Yeah. Hey, Mary, how are you?
Jean, I am good. I'm better than good. I'm great.
Excellent. Excellent.
Actually, I'm just kind of like floating here among the stars, you know. And then every now and then I come down to earth. I have a word. I have a word for you.
You have a word of the day? Okay.
I do. Actually, it's two words. It's a phrase.
Oh, even better.
Well, it's because of what's been going on in current affairs, current events, makes me, I thought this might be a good word to, a good phrase to share. Gender dysphoria.
Gender dysphoria.
Yes. Now, I know you know what a dystopian novel is like, or a dystopia. I'm veering off. I don't need to go into dystopia to get into dysphoria. Gender dysphoria is the condition of feeling one's emotional and psychological identity to be at variance with one's birth sex.
Interesting.
I've been dysphoric many times, not necessarily about my gender, but just about myself in general.
Well, interesting. So it's like just kind of confusion or not a real solid idea or designation with your own self.
Right. And if I break it down a little more, dysphoria is a state of unease or general dissatisfaction with whatever. It could be with life, or it could be with your gender or your job. You could have job dysphoria, or you could have relationship dysphoria.
But if you don't know, if you're having dysphoria about your gender, that could be very confusing, you know. And that kind of makes me think sort of the opposite thing, kind of along those lines I was going to ask you about, because something I'm trying to figure out, and maybe you can help me, and maybe our listeners can help us out too, if they do contact jeanandmary@gmail.com.
Or interact with us on our Facebook page, Be Unique Radio.
Well, yeah, because what I want to know is women always seem to want to try to fix men. Why do women always want to know what men are thinking all the time? It just seems like that.
You know what, Jean? I am probably the wrong woman to ask that question.
Okay.
I'll tell you why. Uh-huh. After I left my first husband, after 25 years of being married and dealing with what I had to deal with, I'm not going to get into that. I was in my early 40s, so it wasn't like a teenage phase, but I did go through a phase where I was more androgynous than feminine or masculine. Mm-hmm. I had very long hair that I always kept up so that nobody could see it. I wore a lot of hats normally, but I also wore a lot of fedoras, which is typically a masculine style. I even went so far as to go to the thrift store and buy a man's suit in my size. If I really wanted to be androgynous, I would dress like a man, not so much like a drag king, you know, cross-dressing as a man. Right. I didn't try to disguise who I was. I felt a need to be almost androgynous and anonymous.
And that's how you were expressing it.
That was how I was expressing it. And I think the reason for that was I had been relegated to a very feminine position in my life. I was the wife. And that's what he called me, the wife. I cooked, I cleaned, I did the dishes, I took care. Nice. I did all the typical feminine chores.
The little woman, huh?
Yeah, I was the little woman. until my intellect threatened him. And then, of course, that changed everything. Anyway, I don't try to fix Curtis, my husband now, who I always call my number one husband. He's just, he's a phenomenal supporter. But I think typically women, I don't know, maybe they feel the need to fix their husband because they think they're the husband's mother or man in general. You know, maybe they think that the man's mother didn't do her job properly. I don't know. I've seen this. What are you thinking? Yeah. Penny for your thoughts. I am scared to death to know what a man's thinking. Because number one, if I ask a man, if I ask you today, Gene, what are you thinking? That gives you every right to ask me, well, what am I thinking? And trust me, sometimes you don't want to know what's going on inside my head. I think that's why last night we had a show the other day about gratitude.
Right.
And I said that I heard a voice tell me, stop telling me what you're grateful for. I know you're grateful.
Right.
Just get on with me. It. Just sit here with me. And I think even God was tired of hearing what's in my head.
Stop. Give me a break.
Well, I know. I'm pretty sure you and I've had a conversation in the past about how women and men are different and the nothing box.
Yeah.
And I'll give a real brief breakdown of that. There's a TED talk that is on YouTube. I don't remember the name of the man presenting, but if you just look up the nothing box, you'll get this. And it's visual as well as audio. So I can tell a decent story in a few minutes. The bottom line is that men categorize things. For instance, I bet Gene has a little box in his head that says, it's time to record, take a break with Gene and Mary. With Mary, time to get with Mary and do this. And I don't have a box that says that, but I have a calendar that tells me you need to go do this. He probably has a box that says, oh, I should write my article for the next issue of Be Unique coming out he's already done his March one, but anyway, he has a box that said, oh, I got to go to Green Gables. I got to unlock the doors and take the windows and he probably has, it's 1:11, Gene. Wonderful, yeah. Propitious time.
Yeah.
Men tend to have boxes. And men will, not all men, but some men will sit on the couch in their nothing box and they'll have the remote control. Curtis had his nothing box going big time last night, sitting there with the remote control, just hitting button after button after button, not watching anything.
The nothing box. Interesting.
The nothing box. You just sit there and you pretend to be doing something like holding the remote, watching TV, but you're really doing nothing.
Almost meditation.
It is.
That's but kind women, of what I do when I weed.
Yes. Women don't have a nothing box, typically. We have emotional connections. When it's time for me to sit down and record a show for Take a Break with Gene and Mary, it's emotionally connected to my friendship with Gene, my need to do what I have to do for Be Unique, and my desire to create something of substance for our listeners. Of course, my whole life is connected to Be Unique through some kind of invisible wire.
True.
And it's like my brain is always going, and Gene is just going, I'm in my box. Leave me alone. I'm going to my lab. Leave me alone. I'm going to the garden. Leave me alone. I think you have a pattern. Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Well, you know, that's interesting. Interesting observation. Yeah.
So, and I have a similar meditation in the garden. You know, when I'm pulling weeds, it's like, I'm just out here not doing anything, but just repeating the same process over and over. And that's why a lot of gardeners say they feel closest to God when they're in their garden. And a lot of people who have reconnected to nature say that that's helped them reconnect to their spiritual self.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, just being standing on the earth, the bare earth, instead of on sidewalks or in buildings and stuff is you know, it's kind of like the same as getting a good clean connection, electrical connection on your flashlight.
Yes.
You know, you get a good strong connection to the earth and then you're in the sun. It's like a straight shot from the universe and the central sun straight to the center of the earth, you know.
And that's why so many people love to go to the beach, because they can take off their shoes and be standing right on that sand or in that water, and it even more powerful. Mm. And if you're in your shoes in your yard, it's better than being in your house in your shoes. But if you're able to be barefoot, way, way more better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's interesting that they've been able to use instruments, scientific measuring instruments, and measure the fact that these electrons and neutrons rearrange in our bodies from standing on the earth, and the energy of the earth rearranging them and basically getting them back in order so that they're not confused like we have sometimes.
And there are certain places on the earth called vortexes where it's even more powerful.
Oh yeah.
And there are portals to other dimensions. A lot of people think that, oh, I'm not going to watch this show. I'm not going to listen to this show anymore. Mary is way out there. And I am.
Woo!
I'm a woo-woo kind of person. But keep listening, folks, because you're going to learn something. You're going to get entertained. At some point, we're going to make you laugh.
Yeah, there's always jocularity, always somewhere.
But if you keep your mind open, you just might join us on our little woo-woo trip. But back to your question, why do women want to know what men are thinking? I think, and this is because I honestly don't think like most women, although I have been guilty of doing that maybe twice in my life, but mostly, I know one particular time I was very much like a insane psychotic woman with Curtis. And just one time that I know of, and I hope I never do it again. I was texting him like crazy because I couldn't find him and he just couldn't understand it. He said, why are you texting me? I'm driving. And I know that he does not text and drive. He doesn't like to talk on the phone and drive. He doesn't like to listen to the radio when he's driving, unless it's a very long trip,
right?
Because he's very mindful of safety when he's driving.
Sure.
Unlike me, who I get in the car, I'm listening to a podcast, talking to Gene or Jennifer, might be on the telephone, looking out at cars, wanting to take a picture. I'm like that. I'm all over the place because that's how my brain works. Curtis is in his driving box when he's driving. And he does, if I was to ask him, what are you thinking while he's driving? He'd probably pull over on the side of the road and give me a look that says, don't mess with me. I, on the other hand, am driving and multitasking in so many different ways. It's scary and I should not do it. I'm working on that, folks. I promise, Gene is driven with me. I hope I don't scare you too much when I'm driving.
Well, not bad.
You know,
I've been scared worse.
Laurel rode with me to Orlando once, and she told me ahead of time. She said, Mary, I'm going to tell you that if you drive over the speed limit, I'm not going with you. I don't like that. I have post-traumatic issues with an accident I was in. I need to know that you're going to be a safe driver. And I said, Laurel, I'm not going to lie to you. I have gone over the speed limit and I do occasionally, but I won't with you in the car. And I have driven a school bus and I've driven bus with an organization I work for, and I had to take defensive driving. I haven't forgotten how to do that. She said, okay, I'll go with you. Well, every now and then, it wasn't my driving, but someone else nearby, because Orlando's a big city and there are like four or five lanes of traffic. So there would be times that we would be pinned in. She knew that we needed to go to another lane, and she'd say, you need to get over. You need to get over. But you can't get over. And she would watch. And I told her, I have never felt safer than when Laurel was in the car, because I had my rearview mirror, my both side mirrors, and my own common sense. But I had Laurel in the back seat looking out for me. You can go now. You can go over, get over one lane. But she would make this little noise like a turkey. I can't do it as cute as she did, but whenever she'd get nervous, she'd make this little gobbly sound, and she'd always apologize. I said, no, that's a perfect alarm. I need you in my car at all times.
To
let me know there's a car close by.
It's better than those cameras that they have looking around.
It was really cool. But,
oh, well.
Yeah. And I think the reason women ask men what's on your mind might be that for that split second, or, you know, what are you thinking? For that split second in the woman's world, she's not thinking of anything. Or she may be trying to distract herself from her many, 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 many thoughts.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Or you don't suppose she's wondering how she might be able to fix him. And if she knew what he was thinking, she might know how.
Probably.
That seems to be a thing.
Yeah, I remember that. I don't know why women want to fix men, or why any person would want to fix any person in any direction, because it's a full-time job for me to fix myself.
Yeah,
I don't have time. Now, I will admit that when I was a mother, it was my job as a parent to raise my sons and teach them all the things that I could teach them about how to manage in the world. They were fortunate. They had two parents at the same time in the same household. Fortunate-ish. You know, because he taught some things one way, I taught some another way. Mm-hmm. Kids turned out okay. In fact, I found, it wasn't dated, but I was going through some very old papers last night for whatever reason. I guess I had nothing else better to do. But I found a Mother's Day card from my youngest son. Mm-hmm. And it said, "Happy Mother's Day to the world's most amazing mother," or "the world's best mother," something like that. And it looked like June Cleaver on the front in her apron baking cookies.
Sure.
And he opened it up and it said, "How else would you explain someone as awesome as me?"
That's awesome. Yeah.
But you think about it, you know, people are so busy fixing other people, they don't work on their own self-improvement. And I think we need to work on ourselves before we work on others.
Well, sure. We definitely need to. I just was, what came to mind was that song, Leader of the Pack. Remember that way back in the day? He's going to girls always going to fix the bad guy, you know, get fit with his problem.
Yeah. And women, they say women are drawn to the bad boy.
Maybe.
I don't know. Oh, that sounds like an exit tune.
Well, it is, because it's time. When we're really happy, everybody chose to take a break with us today. And please join us again tomorrow. Look forward to hearing from you online. Visit beunique.org. Get details about all our shows.
That's BUNEKE.org.
Leader of the Pack.
I can't remember the rest of that song, though.
That's the only one I know. Something about poor, I don't remember.
Yeah, it's a motorcycle.
Motorcycle.
The leader of the pack.
See ya.
Bye, everybody.
Okay.
Just follow my lead.
Well, okay. The only problem I have is I stepped out to my laboratory for a quick second.
Okay.
I'm on my way back to get my recorder.